IMF says Iran war will drag global growth lower. The International Monetary Fund's projection that the Iran war will erode global growth arrives at a moment when biopharma mergers and acquisitions is experiencing one of its strongest runs in years, and the collision of these forces is not a brake on dealmaking, but an accelerant. Institutional capital is reading macroeconomic fragility as a signal to consolidate assets now, before cost of capital rises further and while biotech valuations remain compressed from their 2021 peaks. The thesis, geopolitical instability does not pause mergers and acquisitions cycles in healthcare, it sharpens the urgency for strategic buyers with fortress balance sheets to acquire defensive, cash-generative franchises and lock in innovation pipelines before the window narrows. Biopharma mergers and acquisitions is having one of its best stretches in recent memory, according to Endpoint's news coverage of the sector's resurgence. Big pharma buyers are snapping up smaller biotechs at a pace that suggests the dry spell of 2022 to 2024 is definitively over. The rate of deal announcements has reached levels where industry observers expect new transactions to surface weekly, a dramatic reversal from the capital markets drought that followed the Federal Reserve's tightening cycle. The question is no longer whether mergers and acquisitions is back, it is why buyers are moving now, and what the IMF's downward revision to global growth forecasts means for the sustainability of this deal wave. Emily Field, head of U.S. biopharmaceuticals equity research at Barclays, noted in an April 9, 2026 discussion that the current environment seems different from prior signs of life in the merger market, pointing to fundamental shifts in buyer behavior and asset selection criteria. The conversation, hosted by Endpoint's executive editor Drew Armstrong and Deals reporter Kyle LaHusik, centered on why large companies are acquiring now, what asset classes command premium valuations, and how the return of cash to investors is reshaping startup financing dynamics. The macro mergers and acquisitions nexus, why war economics drive healthcare consolidation. The IMF's assessment that the Iran conflict will drag global growth lower creates a dual mandate for pharmaceutical treasuries, deploy capital defensively while growth is still positive, and secure pipeline assets before sovereign risk premiums compress available leverage. Healthcare mergers and acquisitions historically demonstrates countercyclical resilience, the sector's non-discretionary demand profile and regulatory moats insulate strategic rationale from GDP fluctuations. But the current cycle is distinct. Buyers are not waiting for growth stabilization, they are front-running the deterioration. Three forces converge. First, large-cap biopharma sits on record cash reserves accumulated during the COVID-19 windfall years, with limited organic growth prospects as blockbuster franchises face patent cliffs. Second, biotech valuations remain 40-60% below 2021 peaks despite promising clinical data, creating a buyer's market for innovation. Third, geopolitical risk is now priced into equity markets but not yet fully reflected in mergers and acquisitions premiums, a temporal arbitrage opportunity for corporate development teams. The IMF's growth downgrade, driven by energy market disruptions, supply chain stress in the Middle East corridor, and elevated defense spending across OECD economies, paradoxically strengthens the case for healthcare mergers and acquisitions. Pharmaceutical revenues are largely insulated from consumer sentiment and discretionary spending cuts. Payers continue to reimburse novel therapies. Governments prioritize health security spending. The sector becomes a haven asset class in portfolio terms, and mergers and acquisitions becomes a mechanism to acquire the defensive exposure at scale. Deal architecture, protein degraders and platform acquisitions lead the wave. Recent transactions reveal a clear pattern. Buyers are pursuing enabling platforms and next-generation modalities, not incremental line extensions. Gilead Sciences exercised its option to license Chimera Therapeutics' CDK2 protein degrader, KT200, triggering a $45 million payment to Chimera on April 9, 2026. The deal, which originated from a 2025 collaboration initiated with a $40 million upfront payment, positions Gilead to advance the asset toward an investigational new drug application filing targeted for 2027. Chimera stands to receive up to $665 million in milestone payments plus royalties on commercial sales. The Chimera transaction exemplifies the shift toward protein degradation as a modality. Unlike traditional small molecule inhibitors that block target proteins, degraders eliminate them entirely, a mechanistic distinction with meaningful clinical implications for cancers driven by proteins like CDK2. Chimera's molecular glue design is engineered to selectively degrade CDK2 while sparing closely related CDK family members, theoretically reducing off-target toxicity that has plagued inhibitor programs. Gilead is not alone. Roche entered a partnership with C4 Therapeutics focused on degrader antibody drug conjugates, DACs, for undisclosed cancer targets, with a $20 million upfront payment. The C4 deal extends Roche's existing relationship with the degrader Pioneer and signals that ADC platforms, already a hot sector following AbbVie's $10.1 billion acquisition of ImmunoGen in 2023 and Pfizer's $43 billion Seagen buy, are now converging with protein degradation technology. The combination of targeted antibody delivery and degrader warheads represents a frontier modality with potential to address resistant tumor types. Thomas Smith, analyst at Leerink Partners, characterized Gilead's licensing of Kymera's CDK2 program as validation of the biotech's early-stage development capabilities and its leadership position among oral degrader platforms. The comment underscores a broader dynamic. Buyers are not simply acquiring clinical assets but are effectively placing venture bets on platform companies, using option structures to de-risk capital deployment while retaining upside exposure. Strategic rationale, fortress balance sheets and the tubulous synergy Gilead's broader corporate development strategy provides context for the Kymera deal. The company recently acquired Tubulus, a developer of proprietary ADC platform technologies. The Kymera CDK2 degrader could integrate with Tubulus conjugation chemistry to create next-generation ADCs that combine targeted delivery with protein elimination, a 1-2 punch against solid tumors. This is not portfolio diversification. It is deliberate platform stacking to create proprietary combinations that competitors cannot easily replicate. The strategic logic is clear. In a period of macroeconomic uncertainty flagged by the IMF, large pharma is using mergers and acquisitions to build technological moats, not just fill pipeline gaps. The risk is not overpaying for assets, it is being outflanked by competitors who move faster to lock up scarce platform technologies. The cost of capital for investment-grade biopharma remains historically low relative to biotech's access to growth financing, creating a sustained arbitrage opportunity for strategic buyers. Roche's C4 partnership follows the same playbook. By securing early access to DAC technology, Roche is positioning its oncology franchise to participate in the convergence of ADCs and degraders, a modality intersection that did not exist as a clinical reality 5 years ago. The $20 million upfront is economically trivial for a company of Roche's scale. The strategic value lies in exclusivity and option rights to future programs. The financing backdrop, why cash returning to investors matters. Emily Field's observation that cash coming back to investors is reshaping the startup market warrants deeper examination. As mergers and acquisitions exits accelerate, venture and crossover funds are realizing liquidity events after years of portfolio stagnation. That capital does not sit idle. It recycles into new fund formation and early-stage deployment, creating a reflexive loop that sustains biotech formation rates even as public market initial public offering windows remain narrow. But the quality of that capital matters. If geopolitical shocks compress public market multiples and risk appetite, the marginal venture dollar shifts from high-risk, high-reward platform bets to safer, later-stage assets with clearer paths to acquisition. This compresses the risk curve and favors biotechs with established pharma partnerships, precisely the profile that Kymera and C4 represent. The implication, the current mergers and acquisitions wave is not just a liquidity event for existing assets, it is setting the terms for the next vintage of venture-backed biotech formation. The IMF's growth downgrade introduces a second-order effect. If sovereign risk premiums rise and credit spreads widen, leveraged buyers, typically financial sponsors and smaller strategic acquirers, will face higher hurdles for deal financing. This advantages the largest biopharma players with net cash positions and investment-grade ratings. The mergers and acquisitions market bifurcates. Mega-cap buyers continue to transact at pace, while sub-dollar 500 million biotechs without pharma partnerships face compressed valuations and narrower exit paths. Sector divergence. Oncology and immunology lead, rare disease lags. The asset classes commanding buyer attention are revealing. Oncology, particularly novel modalities like degraders and ADCs, dominates deal flow. Immunology, where Kymera has pivoted its focus in recent years, is also attracting capital. Sanofi exercised rights to Kymera's IRAK4 degrader, which is on track to enter clinical testing in 2026 for inflammatory conditions. Rare disease and neurology, by contrast, have seen muted mergers and acquisitions activity, reflecting concerns about reimbursement pressure and long development timelines in a macro environment where visibility is limited. The divergence is rational. Oncology offers large addressable markets, established regulatory pathways, and payer willingness to reimburse innovation. Immunology benefits from chronic disease economics and expanding label opportunities as the understanding of immune dysregulation deepens. Rare disease, despite scientific progress, faces heightened scrutiny on cost-effectiveness and ultra-orphan pricing, a political risk that deters buyers in uncertain macro climates. Key market signal, buyers are prioritizing modality platforms over single-asset biotechs. The premium is on technology that enables multiple shots on goal, not one-off programs. The WHO wildcard, pandemic preparedness and geopolitical risk. A less obvious but material factor is the ongoing negotiation of the WHO Pandemic Agreements Pathogen Access and Benefit Sharing, PABS, Annex, extended to late April 2026 ahead of the World Health Assembly in May. The annex addresses global equity and pandemic response, including pathogen sharing and benefit distribution, issues that became flashpoints during COVID-19. WHO Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus characterized the PABS system as lying at the heart of the WHO pandemic agreement and urged member states to believe in the power of trust in finalizing negotiations. For biopharma mergers and acquisitions, the subtext matters. If the PABS framework imposes mandatory licensing, profit-sharing, or technology transfer obligations on pandemic-related products, it creates regulatory overhang for vaccines, antivirals, and diagnostics portfolios. Buyers evaluating infectious disease assets must now price in the risk that future pandemic products could face government-mandated margin compression or compulsory licensing. This does not halt deal-making, it shifts it toward therapeutic areas with lower expropriation risk, reinforcing the flight to oncology and immunology. The Iran conflict amplifies this dynamic. Geopolitical fragmentation weakens multilateral institutions and raises the probability of nationalist health policies. The IMF's growth downgrade reflects this fragmentation, supply chain disruptions, energy shocks, and defense spending crowding out productive investment. Biopharma mergers and acquisitions, in this context, becomes a hedge. Acquire assets in jurisdictions with strong IP protection, diversify manufacturing footprints away from conflict zones, and prioritize franchises with pricing power in OECD markets. The Plaquemines view the market is misreading the relationship between geopolitical risk and healthcare mergers and acquisitions. The consensus view treats the IMF's growth downgrade as a headwind for deal activity. Slower GDP growth supposedly reduces mergers and acquisitions appetite. Plaquemines sees the opposite. The Iran conflict and the growth slowdown it triggers are accelerants for strategic consolidation in biopharma, not breaks. Here is why: the window for low-cost capital is closing, not opening. If the war drags on and the IMF's growth projections deteriorate further, central banks face a stagflation dilemma, persistent inflation from energy shocks colliding with weak growth. That scenario is poison for high multiple biotech equities but a tailwind for large-cap pharma with defensive cash flows. The arbitrage between biotech valuations and pharma acquisition currency widens, not narrows. Second, the deal architecture is shifting in ways that favor institutional capital. The move toward platform acquisitions and option-based partnerships, Gilead Chimera, Roche C4, creates asymmetric return profiles, capped downside through staged payments, uncapped upside through milestone and royalty structures. This is venture capital logic applied at pharma scale, and it thrives in uncertain macro environments where optionality has value. Third, the geopolitical dimension is underappreciated. The WHO's PABS negotiations and the Iran conflict both point to a world where sovereign risk and regulatory expropriation are rising. That makes domestic, high-margin franchises in stable jurisdictions more valuable. Mergers and acquisitions becomes a tool to concentrate exposure in defendable markets, US, EU, Japan, and exit exposure to emerging markets where pricing power is eroding. The second-order play: watch oncology-focused biotech with established pharma partnerships and clinical proof of concept in solid tumors. These companies will command mergers and acquisitions premiums 20-30% above where they trade today as buyers accelerate timelines to close deals before cost of capital rises. The comps are instructive: ImmunoGen at $10.1 billion, 31.5x sales, Seagen at $43 billion, approximately 11x sales at announcement. Current degrader and ADC platforms with partnerships trade at fractions of these multiples despite comparable modality promise. The bottom line: the IMF's warning on Iran war-driven growth slowdown is not a reason to sell healthcare mergers and acquisitions exposure, it is a reason to lean in. Biopharma consolidation is accelerating precisely because macro uncertainty rewards defensive, cash-generative portfolios with innovation pipelines insulated from consumer discretionary risk. Protein degraders and ADC platforms are the current battleground, with Gilead, Roche, and peers deploying structured option deals that maximize upside while capping downside. For institutional allocators, the thesis is clear: large-cap biopharma with fortress balance sheets and active corporate development functions will outperform in a stagflationary macro regime. The volatility is not in whether deals happen, it is in which biotechs get acquired and at what premium. The next 6 months will separate platform winners from single-asset casualties. Position accordingly, and follow the degrader money.